You may be wondering what drove me to want to really study success in this level of depth. In fact, a lot of people say to me, Tony, how did you become so successful? Well, I'm complimented by the statement, but my response usually is the same thing that drives all of us to succeed. One of two experiences, either inspiration or desperation. For me, it was more desperation. I grew up in an environment I did not like, and it started back as far as high school for me. I remember looking around and being dissatisfied. And by the way, if you're dissatisfied with some area of your life right now, instead of being frustrated, get excited. Because I got to tell you something, until you get dissatisfied, you won't do anything to really make your life at another level. Dissatisfaction is a gem. If you're totally satisfied, you're going to get comfortable, and then your life begins to deteriorate. But I found myself dissatisfied with my environment. I didn't like what I saw growing up. I saw my father working extremely hard as a salesman, 40 or 50 hours a week, and yet most of the time we were broke. And I didn't understand why. I can remember a specific Thanksgiving where there was no money for food and where some service organization came by and delivered food to our house. My dad didn't want to accept it, but he felt like he had to. I remember what that did to him emotionally. And that drove enough pain inside of me that I thought to myself at that time, I don't want to ever have my family have to go through this. And I don't want to have to go through it myself ever again. I thought someday I'm going to master financial success so I can not only help myself, but the people around me. And that was a driving force for my success in that area. I remember going to high school, and I was not a real popular kid, but I really loved people, and I loved being around them, and I wanted everybody to like me, and a lot of people did, but I wasn't the most popular kid in school. But, you know, I thought someday I'm going to meet the most popular kid in school, and I'm going to find out what makes him so popular. He's probably one of the nicest, most warm, and genuine people you could ever meet. I remember the day I met this kid. He treated me like I was dirt. Like, how dare I enter his space? And I thought, how could somebody who's this rude be this successful in having people like him? And it made me want to study what makes people like other people. I remember looking around at people in relationships, people who've been married 5, 10, 15 years, who weren't just hanging out together. They still had that passion, that drive for each other. They really loved each other 100%. It's like they were newlyweds. I remember one day going to my mother and saying, how come this is my fourth father? I'm just curious. And she told me an explanation that I didn't quite understand at the time. But I can tell you one thing, it motivated me to want to make relationships work. So out of all of these things, what happened for me in my mind is I said, look, I don't like the way my life is. I want to make it better. And so somewhere in my mind, I linked up that what I should do is study success. That if you want anything in life, you got to make it a study. If you want to be successful, you got to study it, not leave it to chance. If you want to be happy, you got to study happiness. If you want to be wealthy, you've got to study wealth. If you want to be healthy, you got to study health. You can't just hope that things will turn out okay. You can see what hoping does for most people. Most people don't have what they want, and they just keep hoping it'll change. The bottom line for me is I went out and started studying success like a madman. I believe that if you will immerse yourself and focus on anything, you're going to get good at it. And so I decided to get good at understanding how to make my life work. And I went out and read almost 700 books in the area of human development. Everything from your basic positive thinking to your more esoteric forms of change when I thought I was so sophisticated. The point is this. As I read all this material and I listened to tapes constantly in my car, anytime I could, I tried to dump some good stuff into my mind. I went to seminar after seminar after seminar. Many of them were lousy. But my attitude was, hey, if I go to a seminar and all I get is one idea, it's worth my attending. Or if I go to a seminar and all it does is tell me what I already know. But I hear it another time, and now maybe by hearing it again, I actually now use it, what a concept, then maybe I can make my life work. And so I went for that strategy that repetition is the mother of skill. And I heard enough, and I read enough, and I watched enough, and I listened enough, and I poured so much good stuff in that you can guess eventually good stuff started coming back out. In fact, within a short period of time, I became totally successful. Now, we all have our own definition of success. But you can guess what mine was back then, growing up pretty poor financially. I mean, the answer was money. I figured, hey, if you make enough money, it'll solve all of life's problems. Is that true? Of course not. But if you make enough money, at least you can arrive at your problems in style. You drive up in your limousine to handle your problem. It's a whole nother world. Seriously, my point is this. I had really made it, I thought, by the time I was 19 years old. I went out and just used massive action. I read all these books, I listened to all this material, and I went out and just applied everything I could. In a short period of time, I had this big company. I was written up in newspapers and magazines as this young entrepreneur. They called me Wonder Boy. My ego was exploding. And I had what I thought success was at that time in my life. I had a lot of money. I was making about $10,000 a month in income, which for a 19-year-old kid, for anyone, seems like a lot of money, seems like a lot of success. But something interesting happened. And the interesting thing that happened was I'd never had that level of success before. I'd never had that many people liking me and acknowledging me. I'd never had that much money. I'd never had that kind of experience. It was beyond my comfort zone. Now, I'm not talking about consciously now. See, consciously, I thought I wanted more and better and all these other kinds of things. But subconsciously, I believe that most of us have a subconscious idea of what we think we deserve. I mean, imagine it as if it's a thermostat attached to your brain. If we have a thermostat in this room and we set it at 68 degrees and it's not hot enough in here, things aren't moving, it's not warm enough, and the temperature drops down to 62 degrees, what's going to happen? The heaters kick on. All of a sudden, what happens? Anxiety. Your brain says, hey, we got to make it better than this. This isn't good enough for me. And sure enough, all of a sudden, you get this push, this drive to change things. And that's what happens in life when it's not good enough, when your life does not represent right now what you think it should be like. What's interesting, though, that most people don't realize is it happens on the other side, too. What do I mean? I mean, if you set it at 68 degrees and all of a sudden things start going really well, hey, it starts heating up in here. We start cranking. If it gets up around 72, 73 degrees, what happens in this room? The air conditioners kick on and you begin to sabotage your own success and you drop right back down to where you subconsciously think you deserve to be in your relationships and your economics and your level of acknowledgement. Does this make sense to you? It doesn't make sense intellectually, but it does make sense when you start studying how human beings behave. And that's what I did. I began to sabotage my own success. How? I started to not show up for key meetings. I started to treat people harshly who didn't deserve to be treated harshly at all. I started eating like I was going out of style. I was never into drugs or alcohol, but I used food like it was a drug. If I didn't like how I felt, well, I just eat something. That was going to change how I felt. But then I looked in the mirror and I was getting fatter and I felt worse, so I ate some more. And it just didn't work. I got caught up in this vicious circle, so much so that within 2.5 months, I gained 38 pounds. That is not easy to do. You have to eat tons of food and not move very much to pull that off, which I managed to do. The bottom line is this, though. As I began to sabotage, it didn't stop with me. It started to affect everyone around me. I fired almost everyone in my company. I only had about 3 employees left. And I'd fired them too, but every time I go there, you're fired, they go, I know, and they just keep on working, thinking sooner or later things would work out and I'd become sane. I went totally broke financially, and I moved into a little 400-square-foot bachelor apartment in Venice, California. No kitchen, washing my dishes in the bathtub, waking up each morning with major goals, things like, what am I going to eat today, and what's going to happen to Luke and Laura on General Hospital, my favorite program at the time. So how do I get to be here with you? How did my life turn around? Well, the answer is, it wasn't just by more information. It wasn't just by more technology, although that made a difference. What made the big difference for me is a friend came by, someone I hadn't seen in about 2 years. And the reason he came by to visit me and had to track me down is he couldn't call me on the phone because my phone was disconnected. At this point, my nickname had gone from Wonder Boy in the newspapers to just Boy. I was hiding from my creditors, trying to survive. He came to my house and basically he put it on me. He couldn't believe how much I deteriorated, and he was a true friend. He wasn't mean, he wasn't vicious, but he was strong. And he said, look, you're worth more than the way you're living. I mean, what happened to you? You know all this stuff. You know all the books and the tapes, you've read it all. Your life is still not working. And I said, that's right. And that's because none of that stuff works. Long story short, to say the least, I was jaded. I felt like I tried everything. Well, I learned something within the coming months that really changed my life. I learned that no matter what's happened in your past or how many times you tried and failed, none of that matters because this moment is a fresh new opportunity. The past does not equal the future. If you've tried lots of programs in the past and nothing's quite kicked you over the edge, all that's done is gotten you ready for this program, in my opinion. And I think you're going to find it's going to be true because you're going to find the technology we're going to share with you in this program is different than anything else you've heard before. It won't just be affirmations. You're going to understand how your brain really works and how to use it to get real results. Hey, listen, I believe your brain is the most powerful computer on the planet. Use it properly and you can create virtually any result you want and give you almost any answer you want. But the problem is here we got this great computer, but no one gave us an owner's manual on how to use it. And it's not user-friendly. In this program, I'm going to show you how to operate and direct your own mind with more precision and power than ever before. But here's your part, and that's what this first tape and this first day is all about. One message. The message is this. What changes your life is not learning more. What changes your life is making decisions and using your personal power and taking action. That's what the definition of power is. Look it up in the dictionary. Power, the ability to act. Hey, that's what sets people's lives apart. This man got me to take action by challenging me, and I'm returning the favor now to you. No matter how successful you are compared to your friends, compared to what you think other people are like, it's now time to take yourself to a new level, to begin to enjoy more of the juice of life by demanding more from yourself than anybody else could ever expect, and by using tools that are the cutting edge, the newest technology in how to create change. The science that my friend introduced me to was a science of literally how to reprogram the mind. And again, I tell you, it was different than all the stuff I'd heard. I had done all the positive thinking and all the affirmations and all the mantras and all that stuff, but my life still wasn't working. What he really introduced me to was a technology for literally reconditioning the way my mind worked, a technology for changing the way I felt and the way I behaved forever, literally. What you're going to learn through this program is just as there have been a series of technological breakthroughs in many of the sciences, computer sciences, where we can now process information much more rapidly than we ever thought possible before, agriculture, medicine, there have also been equally great breakthroughs in the area of human technology, meaning technology and how to get ourselves to change our emotions and our behaviors with lightning-like speed. And very few people know much about these sciences. In this program, I'm going to expose you to a series of those. When my friend came and met with me, he began to expose me to just a few of them back then.